Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. During this particular week, I had a variety of emotions. Since last Sunday, when this church looked like Easter, and we were packed in here to honor Sarah, and then we had that wonderful, wonderful farewell luncheon and party and program. And then everyone left. And so this week, alone in the office, I felt a variety of emotions. I've been alone before in the parish with her two maternity leaves and sabbatical, but it felt different. My practice is every morning I have a cup of coffee and I journal. And then I read scripture and then I meditate and pray. So this particular week, I journaled every day my emotional roller coaster. Meanwhile, I was getting ready to preach today, so I was looking at today's gospel and thinking of things and different directions I could go, but it wasn't coming to me. Friday morning was a particular morning when I really felt this week alone. And I also felt inadequate. And I journaled, help me, help me, help me. I surrender. Help me, God. Show me the way. And I decided, what the heck, I'll look at the first reading, Deuteronomy. So I look at Deuteronomy, and I read in Deuteronomy that Moses, and this is the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses is now going to be out of a job. He's no longer going to be their leader. In fact, it's transition time. And God says, I'm going to choose a new leader from among you. And I went, whoa. And then I also recognize the new leaders among us and how much we share in ministry and leadership. So all of a sudden, I recognized the direction that I needed to preach today. So yesterday, I was going to do some errands. I needed to go to Sprouts and CVS, so I'm ready to leave the house. And my cell phone gives me a text. It's from the hospice nurse taking care of a family at the Canterbury. It's the hospice nurse for Helen Luck, who's been a 10 o'clocker for many years, except recently. And the text said, Helen is not doing well. Her oxygen levels are low. She looks pale. Her daughters are anxious. Can you come and do a blessing? And I knew that it was Michael, the chaplain's day off. And so I texted back, I'll be there. So I changed my clothes. I go up to the Canterbury. I walk in the room. The daughters are grateful. Helen is laying there. Her mouth is open. Her breathing is struggled. And I put on my stole. I anoint her. I start praying out loud. I'm praying out loud. I'm praying out loud. And all of a sudden, Helen opens her eyes and says, hush! So I stopped. I took a deep breath. Helen, would you like me to read Psalm 23? No. And then I said, trying to recover, well, you know, Helen, God speaks to us first in silence. Hush! So the daughters turned to me. That's our mother. And so I am in one side of Helen. It was her good ear. And the girls, the adult daughters, were on the other side. And so we sit and sit and sit and pray. Michael eventually did come because he got a text also. And Helen falls asleep. And so I eventually leave, and I go home, and three more things happened. And so my opportunity to write an awesome sermon for today is going out the window. So I say, what the heck, I'll go to Jeannie's concert tonight. Because I felt I really wanted to be at her concert, her performance with Kurt and Steve and Clayton. So last night, and Helen did die at 4:40, and I got that text also. So Helen died. So I change, I come here, the concert is incredible. I am absolutely moved by the song, the prayer. And now the concert has ended, and I'm standing there talking to Steve and Bud. I feel my cell phone buzz, and I look at it, and I get a text from Joyce and Noreen Harrison. Brian Harrison has just died. Can you come? And the Harrisons, of course, have been parishioners 52 years and have lived at the Canterbury maybe 2 or 3 years now. So I texted back, I'll be right there. So I leave the concert and go up to the Canterbury, and Brian has died, and Noreen is sitting there, and Joyce is standing, and we have a group hug, and we cry. And I said, shall we honor Brian with ministration of the death from our Book of Common Prayer? And Noreen said, that would be nice. So together we read that. And we finish, and I sit for a while, and we just sit and reminisce and talk to Noreen. And that's just the kind of moment that you have at a moment like that. You just sit and are together. So I came home last night about 10 o'clock, and I said, today I'm preaching. So I got up at 4:30, and the whole message from this book of Deuteronomy to me, and that's what God said to Moses, I will provide. I will provide the leader, and I will give the leader the words they are to speak from me. And so I said, okay, God, you're on. And I absolutely believe that. What I also believe is this voice of God speaks always and to all of us. How do we listen? One of the things that really helped me with this morning's sermon, with the events of yesterday, is I listen better when I am not on autopilot. When I'm on autopilot, I'm just moving, not thinking, things are happening, and I'm not in communion with God in that moment. At least I don't feel it because I'm on autopilot. But the invitation that broke through yesterday, once the first text came, is, hey, you're not in charge, I am. This is my church, not yours. These are my people, I will feed them, I will provide, show up. But that is what God says to all of us. I will provide, show up, no matter what the circumstance. So all of us can get inspired and respond. And in that inspiration, it sometimes is meant to be right here in this church that God is calling you to do something you hadn't considered before, to be a leader, to step out in faith and let God use you and speak through you. And this is the deal. The speaking is with the authority of Jesus Christ. That is the focus, not us, but Jesus. So in this particular gospel, the voice within which we could hear, the voice outside of ourselves which we could hear, there are so many ways that God communicates through us and to us and with us. And so one of the questions we might ask ourselves is, how much do I believe in the authority of Jesus Christ? The authority, because these people were not on autopilot, they noticed what happened when Jesus expelled this unclean spirit, and they went, whoa, this particular event is like none we've ever witnessed. This person is speaking with the authority of God. And that did not end 2,000 years ago. And the invitation is, do we let Jesus have authority over our lives, or do we keep Jesus at a distance and stay on autopilot? And the invitation is, okay, what do you want to say to me? And then believe that God will provide the way for you to respond with what you need to respond or what you need to say. And I have seen lives change when simple faith happens. Here's an example. Years ago, in the 80s, I was the campus minister at Bishop Montgomery, and I was in charge of all the retreats, senior, junior, sophomore, and freshman. And the senior retreats were 2 days off campus. So on one particular senior retreat, there was about 100 seniors on retreat. There was a group of girls in the back of the room, all had dark glasses on, all were sitting like this with an attitude. And there were a group of football players over on the side sitting like this with an attitude. And I would have peers give their presentations, not me. Seniors who had been on a retreat before or alumni would give a talk on what God meant to them. One of the girls was really moved hearing someone her age talk about what God meant to her and what God had done in her life. And after the retreat, this one of the girls in the back of the room with the dark glasses came into my office, and one of the boys on the football team who had been in juvenile hall came into my office and said, you know, that was really neat, and like, could you use me to help you on the junior retreat? And I said, gosh, you know, I have one group left that needs leaders. Would the two of you mind being co-leaders for this group? And they didn't know each other, and they weren't in the same group of friends that hung out together. And they said, whatever, okay. So they become co-leaders, and boy, did they become leaders. God really used them. I could see them step out in simple faith and simply believe that if they believed God would speak through them and use them, they became the most effective people on these retreat teams that I'd ever worked with. They began to change lives because of how they witnessed to their faith. That's an example of giving authority to God. It's just stepping out in faith and believing that God will provide and show you the way. They gave authority to God. Well, that girl was the first in her family, her relatives, to go to college. She has a PhD in psychology, and she works with troubled teenagers. The young man and that young woman married 9 years later, who had accidentally met on the retreat. He happens to be the head coach at Redondo Union High School for the girls' basketball team. So today, how are you going to listen to the voice within? And there will be moments when I hope someone says to you, hush. just listen. Just be silent and let God be with you and nudge you and speak to your heart. And through that, God does a new thing with us, with your friends, with your family, with this parish. We are God's parish. May we let God have authority over us and use us, and let God raise up leaders within our midst as we begin a new season together. Amen.